Welcome to Beyond the Press Release, a production of GoreCom, in which we take the time to speak with small cap executives after they put out big news. Guys, if you've been following the great space race over the last 2 years, including India landing on the moon just on August 23rd, and today, SpaceX's Falcon Heavy launched a $1 billion asteroid mission for NASA, then you're going to love this interview with Royal Helium, given the fact that rocket launch activity in 2022 reached a new record with nearly liftoff every week. And 2023 is going to set a new record because of more companies launching from Florida, Virginia, Alaska, California, even India, around the world. Why is that important to Royal Helium? Royal Helium already has a 3-year purchase commitment from two offtake partners in the major North American aerospace and space launch industries. We don't know their names. They've been purposely held back, though I do try and get out of Andy when we do have these interviews. But that includes a major space launch company that we, on our own, we're going to say us and a couple of other people around Canada, have narrowed down to. It's got to be one of NASA, we're thinking, SpaceX, which is owned by Elon Musk, or Blue Origin, which is owned and primarily taken care of by Jeff Bezos. And that's important because helium plays a critical role in space launches. A lot of people know that. It also plays a critical role in a whole bunch of other high-tech applications that we're not going to go through today. But as a result of that, demand from all of these has caused supply issues, as you can imagine, making helium prices skyrocket, pardon the pun. And here's the big news today. Royal Helium successfully completes facility commissioning and announced the startup of the Steveville Helium Purification Facility. Andy, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks, George. Great intro.
You make it great, man. This is exciting. How many of our clients have ties to major space launch companies, right? Yeah, That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Quote from your press release. This is a pivotal moment for Royal Helium and all its stakeholders. We hear that sometimes in small caps, right? George Colom says this is pivotal. But this really is. Expand on that for everybody who hasn't really followed Royal Helium until now.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a real, you know, key differentiator for us and anyone else who's competing in our space. I mean, getting this project done and on stream has been the culmination of about 6 years of work. And for a lot of people, it seems relatively quick if you just started following last year. But man, it's been a pull, but we've gotten it there. And this facility that we've turned on now is one of a kind in Canada for sure. It's the largest helium purification facility in Alberta, produces the highest quality helium in Canada. It's just a phenomenal piece of engineering. It took us about a year to put it together, bit behind schedule, but you know, it's an industrial project. It's suffered from the same supply chain issues as everyone else. It's pivotal because it moves us from, you know, a theoretical production company to an actual production company with cash flows starting imminently from shipments from site, right? I mean, it takes us from consistent market takers in terms of capital to having the flexibility to do what we want based off internally generated cash flow. And I tell you what, as a small company, there's no way to overstate the difference that makes.
Yeah, especially in an environment like this where small cap companies find it very hard to raise money. At some point, we'll talk about you haven't released in the press release. Maybe we'll try and get some info on timelines, but I want to talk about money first.
Yep.
It's engineered to process 15,000 million cubic feet. Is that it? Per day of raw gas and 22,000 of 99.999. So I'm going to call that 5N helium per year at some pretty great prices. Yep. What does that mean in terms of cash flow? I'm not asking for an exact accounting, but This isn't a small deal either.
No, it's not a small deal. And the one of the nice things about the plant we built is the exceptionally low operating costs, right? I mean, as a power consumer, it is the lowest of any helium plant in North America that we can find. So the margins on our product are north of 80%. So 80% of that combined price of, you know, $537 US comes right to the bottom line. You know, they're terrific contracts, terrific price, and the lifting cost is virtually nothing. And it's such an automated and efficient plant that, you know, it really gets by with one operator with an emergency backup if something goes wrong. But I don't know how to describe it other than that. It's world class. It really is.
in a lot of ways, if I can use an analogy, you know, pharmaceutical companies spend a ton of money up front to trial and get drugs ready. And they always say the first tablet, the first pill costs $400 million. Yeah. But after that, they're really profitable. So that's kind of not that you're $400 million into it, but that's kind of the same, a lot of upfront cash to get to this point. And once you start delivering, it's 80% margin at that point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a good analogy. Obviously the price point's a little different, but it's very true. All the upfront capital cost has to get sunk. But the minute it does, and you have a plant that's up and running and working, it's cash flow for as long as you have wells productive enough to run gas through it. I mean, this plant has a life of 25 years on it, 25 years. So this thing will be kicking off cash flow for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm going to be 80 when this thing starts spinning off cash flow. So I'm not selling any of my Royal Helium. I'm just going to keep hopefully collecting dividends or whatever it is you're going to do with all that cash flow. Yeah. But that's amazing. 25 years. That's like a drug, right? A lot of these drugs have 20-year protections spinning off cash. And but you're not stopping there.
No.
Right? You've got more. So how repeatable is this process now that you've gone through it and you've built it out? Because you're planning on you've got two big helium wells that are going to feed the plant right now. And you're obviously going to try and get some more going. How repeatable is this now that you've gone through all of it?
Yeah, that's another beautiful thing about this. We can literally build a carbon copy of this at virtually any of our other land packages, provided that the wells we drill are productive enough to meet the 15 million cubic feet a day of raw gas input. This same plant will go there. And we've learned a lot through the process. We think we can tighten up some timelines as we go through it, having built one. And we now know all the questions to ask that we didn't frankly know a year ago when we started this. So exceptionally repeatable on a project by project basis. And in fact, the plan is to do this again a couple more times in the next, you know, year to 18 months. We've got some pretty aggressive growth plans based off majority internally generated cash flow. I mean, we've got a number of other properties that we've already drilled and proven that there's economic grades of helium there. So now it's a function of making a production decision on which one is next. And so that's the exploration stuff we'll get into in the next 6 months. And relatively inexpensive exploration work, because we've already drilled the wells. It's a matter of going back and doing some testing on them to determine which ones we're going to produce from. So repeatable, yes, in multiple locations, absolutely.
And it's not like you got lucky and just hit two wells. It was like George and Andy were out there camping or something like that, and we pop some and said, hey, wow, we found a couple of helium wells here. You've got strong reason to believe that, and we'll talk about more of that in another interview, but I just want to touch on it. You've got strong reason to believe that you're going to be able to repeat this success down the road. You're not a one trick. You're not a two trick pony here.
No. I mean, we've got a lot of confidence in it, mainly because we already have done it. I mean, we've drilled economic looking helium wells in Saskatchewan, you know, seven times. So it's not a function of can we do it? It's just a matter of when we pull the trigger to get it started.
Well, has there been any change in the helium market? Because it seems like, look, I was on vacation in Greece when India launched and they put a rocket on the moon. It's like SpaceX is on TV every day. Everybody, Virgin, everybody. It's amazing what's going on. What's that done to the helium market going forward? Because you already had a fantastic bump in price from what you thought you'd have a couple of years ago when we first started. Is that more demand causing more supply pressure causing higher prices?
Yeah, I mean, it sure is. I mean, so what you see, I mean, the space exploration industry is an easy one to point to because it's very visual. It's huge news when a rocket goes up like that went up today or in August from India. But it's not just that. I mean, you think about the onshoring of semiconductor and microchip manufacturing into the U.S., continuing to spike demand for helium, which was, of course, used in that process. And then you have, you know, green shift power projects moving to small modular reactors. A good portion of those use helium as their coolant medium. So all of these things drive up demand at a material level at the same time as healthcare, the primary use traditionally, isn't shrinking. It's growing at its normal, you know, 6% per year growth rate. And production is shrinking, especially now, right, with Russia being offline. I mean, it's a major pinch in North America. And, you know, geopolitical tensions in the Middle East certainly don't help when the other two main suppliers are Qatar and Algeria. So there's a very interesting inflection point coming into the market again, whereas we're probably headed for helium shortage number 5 or 6 here, and it's going to be a deep one when it hits. So we see prices, you know, staying high. We don't think they stay parabolically high like they've been. But what I think what we're seeing is a real sort of paradigm shift in where the base price is, right?
Yeah.
Historically, that's been around $100 US over the last, you know, 10, 15 years. But in the last 5, we've seen this spike. And with no major new supply sources coming online, I mean, we see a base of $400 as a minimum price going forward. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you don't want that parabolic move anyways, because parabolic is unhealthy. People start looking for alternatives. It can't last. So, yeah, you want to see that nice, steady, more demand creates less supply, cause increasing price, just steady Eddie. Now, in all this, that sounds great. But if I start George Helium Company today, the one thing amongst many things I'm missing that you have is also third-party validation.
Yeah.
Because once you start delivering, and I'm going to ask you that at the end here, but once you start delivering, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are going to be a lot of companies out there looking to you as a direct supply source that wouldn't have looked at you maybe a year ago,
yeah,
right? But what does this do for your third-party validation now to consumers and customers around the world that are going to be looking for someone to make up the supply shortage?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, because we've had a number of reach outs over the last year from major consumers. And we're not talking Party City. We're talking about major healthcare companies, you know,
yeah,
major aerospace companies that have been curious about what we're doing and expressed interest in dealing with us once we can prove that this works. And so the fact that we've turned it on opens up all of those doors. And so as we go to build out the next project area, we're going to follow the same path. We are going to, you know, drill the wells, prove the resource, sign an offtake agreement, and then build one of these plants, right? So it becomes that same project treadmill that worked at Steveville. We'll do the same thing at every other project area. And our list of available customers has exploded.
Yeah, so you're not going to be resting on your laurels. You're compelled. You have great reason to say, okay, guys, this is great. Now let's move on. Let's keep it going, because you're getting those direct phone calls from,
yeah,
like I said, major healthcare companies.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly encouraging when that happens, but it just solidifies the fragile state of supply, right? When multi-billion-dollar companies call Little Royal Helium looking to access some product, I mean, it tells you there's a problem. And we think we can be a big part of the solution to that problem.
Does that give you, I mean, look, I'm just putting George's thinking cap on, because I think I do that kind of well once in a while, which is George Com Medical gives you a call, says, Andy, what's your situation? You're saying, well, George, our 100% of our capacity on the first plant is sold out. We're looking to run the game plan now. Does that put you in a position where you can look at, or maybe George Com looks at you and says, hey, Andy, I want to accelerate that. How about we become a bit of a joint venture partner with you or something? How about if we find a way to give you some non-dilutive financing for, you know, these potential wells over here, help you move it along fast, and then we got first crack at those. Are those kind of conversations potentially taking place? And I'm not sure if you can tell me, but at least I got to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I can't give you definitive specifics on what's going on, although I'll say you're on the right track. I mean, there are certainly groups that are looking to securitize their own supply chain. And what we're seeing is it's groups that aren't looking for supply tomorrow. Like they see the end of their contracts coming midway through 2024 or early 25, and they're looking to sign contracts now that don't kick in until that point. And that's exactly the partner we're looking for, right? Because the minute that we've, you know, put a resource on a project and make the decision to sell the gas, there's still, you know, a 9 to 12 month lead time before that production can start. So we're looking for customers that are specifically like that, saying, yes, we want to secure contracts with you, but we don't want them to start till X date. That's perfect. And some of them are going so far as to say, look, we're interested in taking part in these projects, helping to fund it.
And you and I have never discussed that, right? I mean, it's not like you and I talk about that off camera and I'm conveniently mentioning that's But knowing the way I know markets, that just seems to be the natural inference to make, which is, hey, Andy, we need your helium so bad. What can we do to help you speed it up, secure 12 months from now when my contract with ABC is done? And yeah. And wow, that's great to hear that that's those kind of talks, unorthodox, kind of out-of-the-box yeah. conversations are taking place.
And these different structures come up at times like this, right, where prices go parabolic on the customer side, and they're forced to look for solutions elsewhere to try to drive their costs down. And that's one thing that we provide, right? So because we're not selling through an intermediary, we offer a lower price to the end user than they would otherwise pay. But we still get paid a much higher price than we'd otherwise get. So it's a nice little side market arrangement that we've got lined up with our customers, and one that'll continue. And as we start delivering into our first two contracts, I mean, the credibility that comes from that puts us in a whole new level.
And perfect segue. Again, we haven't scripted this, but that's a question I had for you, because, you know, two big conspiracy theories have been debunked in this world. One was whether the U.S. actually landed on the moon, and yes, they did. And the other one was whether you actually had a plant that was capable of startup and delivering, because, man, we know social media in the last 3 weeks has really been on your IR team with Dean and everybody saying, this isn't going to happen, so it's happening. What can you tell us about delivery now? I know you can't give us a specific, but are we weeks away, months away? How far are we, do you think we are from first delivery?
Yeah, you know what, I'm not going to give any official guidance on that clearly, but it's not a long-term thing. So we expect it relatively shortly. The startup process has to go through a series of steps. As we clear those steps, we're one day closer to production with every day that passes. So it's coming along. I would suggest it'll certainly be before the end of the year, and it's not months we're talking about. And to your other question or your other comment, it's always nice to be mentioned in the same sphere as, you know, moon landing deniers. That's always but we have had an interesting uptick in, you know, in people just showing up outside the gates at site, taking pictures and posting them to prove that there is, in fact, a plant here. It's been wild the last couple of months.
Yeah, and I guess it's not that far from some, and they're posting those on social media saying, hey, this is actually happening. And we went through that with Dean Nawada. He did that amazing tour for everybody. I got to tell you, that was one of the best educations I ever got in what it means to be commissioning a facility and so on. But getting back to the point that this is just almost, it's math right now. You've commissioned, now you're doing the startup. Yeah. It's like starting up my laptop. As much as I wanted to start interviewing Andrew this second, I got to give it a few seconds to start up. I got to launch my Zoom, but that's all it is. So you have no reason. And I know you don't, but I want to make sure we put it out there for the record. You have no reason to be concerned that, you know, startup is going to go as expected and then you can start delivering.
No, exactly right. So, I mean, the plant's already been, it's gone through assembly. It's gone through commissioning, which means everything's been fired up and run. Now it's just a matter of running our own gas through it. And it starts with things like purging the entire unit of any, you know, debris that was in it. We do that with nitrogen, and we purge it and we pressure it up, and then we replace the purge with gas. And once a unit goes through that startup process, it's now ready to go. And because it's modular, there's a path we follow. We clear unit one, and then on to unit two, then three, then four, then five, then six, and then gas goes to sales. So we're right there.
It's a startup. It's you're starting it's up just startup. Like you're starting up a laptop. Last question. I've asked you this in the past. I love to keep asking it because I don't think I'm the only one out there who's dying to find out. We never know. But now that you're here and, you know, delivery is, like you're saying, sometime in this, it's not going to be months. It's going to be relatively sooner than that. Do you think shareholders will ever know the identity of one or the other offtake partner? Because a lot of us start to take side bets. You know, we're starting to think about starting contests. But will we have, if I launch a contest, will I ever have a way of paying somebody off who gets it right? That's the question.
Yeah, you know what? The answer to that is no, we're not going to disclose who we partner with. So I'm happy to be the book runner for you, though, if you want to set up a poll.
Well, hey, sure. I never have to pay off the bet. We never get the identity. So, Andy, one last security consultation for you then. Since you're already talking about shareholders are showing up taking pictures, well, once those trucks start rolling, because I remember Dean showed us some of the trailers, that beautiful Royal Helium, the logos, yeah, everything like that. keep an eye on gas stations, you know, down the road, because someone's going to be waiting there throwing Apple Tag, you know, on the back of these to find out where they're going. I wouldn't hold it past people. Let's put it that way.
I wouldn't hold it past people. I mean, at that point, if someone else finds it, then there's not much we can do. So,
all right.
Now that I said there's going to be a mob of air tags on every trailer that leaves. So,
all right, detective calm out there. You know, now you know what the next thing is. But Andrew, great to see you laughing. Great to see you smiling, because this is, you know, we've had a lot of fun here in the last couple of minutes. But man, big congratulations to you, the team, everybody, on what was a concept 5-6 years ago, a good idea that still needed investigation. He still had to go find the helium. He had to be economic, and you've got it all the way to here. I hope you're going to get some sleep, you know, this weekend. I hope you're going to have a beer and pat yourself on the back with the team, because it's a Friday and we're doing this. Because I think I speak on behalf of all shareholders, man, when I say we're ecstatic, we're thankful, we're grateful, we're appreciative. And we have nothing but more continued well wishes from all of us for delivery, and then on to the next set of wells. And hopefully this keeps happening every year, every 12 to 18 months, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's been a hard pull to get it here, that's for sure. And all the credit goes to our team, you know, John Stiles, our VP engineering, and Shane Nygum, our chief operating officer. Those guys have done yeoman's work in getting this through the concept stage, through the fabrication stage, on site, through construction, through commissioning, and now startup. I mean, they've done a lot of the work, and I haven't slept in about 9 months. I'm hoping to before Christmas at some point.
Well, I'm sure that's going to happen. And by the way, you got to throw it out there. Might not be a bad idea when deliveries do start and, you know, it's official and the first truck start rolling out. Maybe it'd be great to bring those guys on a Zoom, all of us together. Sure. Yeah. Less interview and more just toasting, let the shareholders kind of participate in it. We all kind of celebrate that day together when it comes, because I think it'd be great for everyone to meet them as well. But in the meantime, yeah, give them our thanks and congratulations also, Andy.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, George.
To everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform, to Andrew Davidson, President CEO, Royal Helium, Trades in Canada, RHC, Trades in the U.S., RHCCF for American friends. Guys, you don't even have to believe in the future of helium, because it's here. And for Royal Helium, deliveries are around the corner. Do your due diligence if you haven't discovered the company up until now, and hopefully you become a shareholder, because 12 months from now, we don't want to say we told you so. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. And to all Royal Helium shareholders, let's have a beer this weekend, celebrate. See you next time. Hey guys, the video's over, but don't forget to help your company by liking it and even leaving a comment below. And then don't forget to help yourself by subscribing to our YouTube channel so you never miss another great AgoraCom small cap video.